Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival, and I am Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Some of the issues we'll be discussing today. It is Monday, the 13th of May, 2013, and we're going to be talking about South Africa, about $1.1 billion worth of shipments of gold almost to South Africa. We'll be talking about that in a little bit. Maybe about China's debt, a crisis in the making. Oh, man, Al, it's Monday. My tongue, I'm all excited about being on the program today. I just couldn't wait to get here. Now my tongue is not paying attention.
Well.
Yes.
Nothing I can say about
yeah,
that,
I
Melody.
Don't say
too
anything.
Early in the week. Too early in the week for me to.
Oh, I'm all fired up today. It was a great day in gold today, folks. You had an opportunity to save almost $16. How about $15.80 on gold today at $14.33? Silver's down 23 cents today at $23.74. Yeah, platinum down 15 at $14.86. And palladium up 9 at $721. USDX today trading, of course, higher 0.15 at 83.25. Crude oil was down a buck today at 94.94. And the paper, the equities, the Dow was down 26 points at 15.092. The NASDAQ was up 2 points, 34.38. S&P basically unchanged, 16.33. 10-year yields creeping. It's creeping upward, 1.92%. And they took away my euro price. Every time they don't want you to know something, they change the way their little scales or little graphs, their little charts. Let's change it. So they have to look a little bit harder. We don't want them to know what the euro is doing, so we're going to change it. We're going to take it off the program. Ugh, it's annoying. They just want you to believe their little theory, their little stories, and unless you have the will to investigate, a lot of people will just fall into their trap. 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Give us a call here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com. DGS for Discount Gold Silver Coins. Com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. Comes out on usually Monday evening sometime. Gives you a recap of the markets from the week before. Al's insight. We combined forces with Wendy Wilson and several other writers. Jim from West Virginia places an ad. And folks, if you have something you want to say, we'd be more than happy. If you make it brief and short to the point, you know, we can have letters to the editor that we can put in there for you. And, you know, we love your observations. We all, you know, this program, Al, goes around the world. We had a call in from London. We used to get lots of emails from London. I've gotten emails from Hong Kong. We've gotten emails from Germany. We've gotten emails from everywhere around the world. And so it's always important to hear from you, and you can always send us an email at questions@dgscoins.com. What's so funny now, Al?
I was just saying we welcome email from around the world, but we don't take collect calls.
Actually, the 800 numbers.
Well, I guess that's true. The 800 number really is a collect call, isn't it? Well, you take collect calls. I don't take collect calls.
You can always
from around the world.
Also Skype. You know, Frank has a Skype. The callers can use from around the world. So we do like to hear from you. But my point was your eyes. You know, you see what's going on around you, and by sharing it with us, then we can share it with everyone else. There's so many things that are happening so quickly, and lots of things are not reported properly. And when we have, so it's always good to get your version of the story. So, with that, Al.
With that, Al, what happened to the Dow Jones today? Did you already say that?
Yeah, I did.
Did you?
Yeah, weren't you listening?
I heard you go through the metals. I didn't hear you go through the equities.
Yes. I did. It's Monday. You know, not a lot of change. Just down a couple points, 20 some points. So it's still over 15. Down about 26 points at 15.042. Al. NASDAQ was up a little bit. S&P was up a little bit. But
yeah,
we were going to talk about this. South Africa.
Yeah, this is an intriguing story. Now, I haven't had a chance to read this. You just brought it to my attention a minute or two before the program began. But $1 billion in gold has been shipped from New York to South Africa this year. Okay? Now, this is a very odd story. South Africa is one of the biggest gold producers in the world. Now, why are they importing gold? Point one. And why is the United States exporting gold to South Africa? They used to have a saying in England years ago, you might have heard it without necessarily understanding it. They talk about sending coals to Newcastle. Now, it doesn't mean much to most people today, but the idea was it was foolishness to ship coal to Newcastle, because Newcastle was a fundamental source of coal, or at least the point where coal was imported from around the world into England. There was no point in sending more coal down there. They already had more than they could deal with. This reminds me of that. Why did we send $1 billion in gold from New York to South Africa this year? And we have an article here, and they say if anybody has a better theory, they offer a little bit of explanation and so on. If anyone has a better theory, tell them why, and perhaps it's because South Africa's been, they've had a problem in the last year with labor strikes that may have shut down their mines for a period of time. I don't know if those labor strikes are still ongoing. I don't know if there's still any impairment, but it just seems odd that we would be shipping gold from this country to one of the biggest gold producers in the world. What do you expose as the explanation, Melody?
Well, it is an interesting article, and I want to thank the gal who sent it over to me. And this group was basically examining the U.S. trade data, and they were surprised to see that the South Africa's $402 million trade surplus with the U.S. in January had turned into a $689 million deficit by March, and they began to question why. And so you had a $1 billion swing, and is entirely due to unusual shipments of gold from the U.S. to South Africa in February and March. And so far this year, 20,000 kgs of unwrought gold worth about $982 million left the JFK Kennedy International Airport for somewhere in South Africa. And that is according to the U.S. Census Bureau's Foreign Trade Division. And for those of you who are not quite sure what unwrought gold is, that includes bars that are created from scrap as well as cast bars, but it does not include bullion, jewelry, any type of powder or currency. So the shipments from JFK were the only unwrought gold to leave the U.S. for South Africa in 2013. But, Al, there was another large shipment that occurred back in September of 2012. So as you mentioned, it is they have an enormous mining industry. And a lot of that material leaves the country. 1.72 billion worth of precious stones and metals were exported in March, and that is actually according to the South African Revenue Service. And as you mentioned, their gold output has been falling steadily for decades. It still remains one of the world's largest producers and is still primarily an exporter. In fact, ordinary South Africans are legally prohibited from importing or owning unwrought gold. Refiners, dealers, and jewelers, they're actually granted licenses to have it. So even the strikes that rocked South Africa's mining industry last year, it caused their gold output to briefly fall sharply around the same time as that big gold shipment from JFK in 2012. It's not clear why South Africa would need to start importing it. One possible destination for the gold is the South African Mint. We know it produces legal-to-own gold coins called the Krugerrands, and the gold used in them is first refined by the Rand refinery. And they tried to contact the South African embassy in Washington, but their calls were not returned. So again, this data does not really imply, no surprise. Let's call them. Anyway, the data does not imply that the gold originated from New York area, only that JFK was the gold's final point of transit before it's made its way to South Africa.
Well, I'll tell you one of the things that might indicate is this. There may be some jewelers, for example, in South Africa, that because of whatever shortage exists in South Africa, if the mines were closed down for a period of time, maybe they needed enough gold to continue manufacturing jewelry, for example, that change that unwrought gold into something that is licensed and saleable and whatever. It's possible. I don't expect it was sent in to make more Krugerrands.
Why not?
I think it was just a guess. I don't know.
I would think they would have more. I think it would be more over jewelry. I mean, I don't know how they would export their jewelry. It's not like India.
They might not have to export it.
Well, I can't see many South Africans.
It might be purchased among South Africans.
It's a lot of gold for jewelry for South Africa.
I agree.
I mean, it's not like India, you know, where their main item is jewelry for gold. I mean, that's how it's sold. I mean, that is their sign of wealth, is the amount of bangles that the women can wear up their arm. South Africa is different. So to see it being refined into Krugerrands, when you have a demand, and Krugerrands are one of the world's most sought after gold coins, along with the maple leaf and the gold eagle. Yeah, I could see it going there.
Oh, I agree. I'm just saying that it's conceivable that in the midst of a gold shortage, if there was any gold, it would be used for Krugerrands, and if the private jewelers wanted to continue in business, they'd have to find another source other than domestic coming out of South Africa, and maybe they're the ones. And all I'm getting to is that it is odd that there would be a shortage of gold in South Africa. You know, it's easier, it's less expensive to buy gold that's already been made, that's already been mined and refined and whatever. It's certainly less expensive than it is to mine it in the first place. But still, By the time you get done with the cost of exporting and hauling it by aircraft and so on across the Atlantic, and you have to wonder, is this evidence of how desperate? I mean, what does this say about the gold supply in South Africa if South Africa has to import gold? And we are only talking about the gold that's been imported from, come out of New York Airport, out of an airport in New York City. That's all we're talking about. We don't actually know if they've also been importing gold from, who knows, Brazil. Assuming Brazil exports any gold, I have no idea if they do or they don't. But are they also importing from other countries? And if South Africa is short on its physical supply of gold, does that tell us anything about the supply of gold in the whole world right now? Does it imply that the physical supply is becoming more and more restricted? And if it does that suggest under the laws of supply and demand that the price is likely to go up? I mean, I look at it and I think to myself, you know, it's certainly consideration. It's not major evidence, but we're talking about, I think they said 20,000 kilograms. That translates into, what, 20,000 kilograms, 40,000 pounds, 50,000 pounds? Talking 25 tons of gold. Am I doing that correctly, Melody?
You're close.
20,000 kilograms. Mm-hmm. It would be close to 50,000 pounds. Yeah, it would be in the mm-hmm. neighborhood of 25 tons of gold. Does that tell us that the global supply is at all more restricted than perhaps some people suspect? No, it doesn't, but it raises that possibility. It's a little bit of evidence, and it's just strange. You know, next thing you know, they're going to be importing diamonds. South Africa is probably the single most, prolific producer of diamonds in the world. I assume that's true. And yet, it would certainly be surprising if South Africa were importing diamonds. It would tell us maybe they've run out of diamonds. Here we have them importing gold.
Oh. Well, one thing I do know, it's a terrific movie. It was called Blood Diamonds. And the one thing that they'll never run out of diamonds.
No, I understand. They've got diamonds. They've got them squirreled away.
They got it squirreled away so they can keep the price up.
Absolutely. And it's one of the reasons why diamonds are not a good investment. I mean, long term, there are more diamonds. There's enough diamonds. They're probably more common than cubic zirconium. If you put all the diamonds on the market that are available, I don't know, I'll bet the price would fall by 75%. And they intentionally restrict the supply in order to maintain high prices. They restrict the supply relative to the demand, and they retain high prices. And people say, oh, my gosh, I have a diamond. What you've got is a shiny rock. It's probably overpriced by about 3 or 4 times compared to what it would be worth in a true free market. All the diamonds that are available were made available for public consumption, price of diamonds would fall through the floor. So that's not good. Diamonds, from my perspective, long-term, not a good investment. Gold, on the other hand, it's not the same thing at all. If anything, the supply of gold has been exaggerated. People are led to believe there's tons and tons of gold in instances where maybe there's not. Diamonds, they say, oh, there's only a few diamonds. No, they got tons of them. Gold, they say, we got tons and tons of gold. Actually, it's paper gold. And they try to mislead us with paper gold into thinking there's a bigger supply and therefore a lower price than is appropriate. So, yada yada. We are coming up to our break, Melody. Got probably about 30 seconds. Do you have something you want to add, or shall we stress Frank and make him go to the bumper music now?
Well, we got a question coming in. And, folks, I just want to let you know, if you have any questions for today's program, questions@dgscoins.com, questions@dgscoins.com. And after the break, we have a special on Mint State 62 $20 gold pieces. I mean, they're going to be the bargain of the century. So make sure you get your pencil sharpened, and you'll be able to give Carla or myself a call after the program to get them locked in. There it is, Al.
There's Frank.
Keep telling me to be quiet.
I know. Well, it's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it. You understand that's Frank's job to keep both of us under control. So, all right, we'll be back in a moment. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. 1-800-375-4188. For all your gold and silver coin needs, Melody has a special du jour for you, folks. Got your paper and pencil ready? Melody?
Yes. It's going to be a very simple special. Mint State 62, $20 Liberty gold pieces at $1,720. That's $1,720. And why did I pick this one? Well, it's actually priced the same as a Mint State 61, $20 gold piece. So it's priced very low. And this coin actually went up $35 today on a $14 drop in gold. So people are buying. And it's only, what, a little over, it's about $200 over a gold bullion coin. These coins are even priced lower than a circulated Liberty gold piece. So I don't know why anybody else would buy anything but the Mint State 62 $20 gold piece. It's a great buy for $1,720. That includes your shipping costs. That includes your shipping costs. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188, and the regular price on that coin would be about $1,840. So you can't beat the price. Give us a call.
When you're talking about the price of this coin went up $35 a coin.
Yes, sir.
At the same time that the price of gold dropped $15 or whatever it is today.
Yes, sir.
How do you explain that?
Buying, demand.
Well, where I'm going
is... I'm not saying it happens all the time.
No, I get that.
But this is the type of response that you can have. When you have that significant demand and buying pick up, you will see it reflected in the pre-33 gold piece.
Well, I'm kind of wondering if this parallels the increase in premiums we saw in silver coins when the supply became tight. Does it suggest that there is, even though the price is falling, does it suggest that dealers recognize that there's at least a reduced supply for these particular coins, or does it suggest, is this a first leaf in the breeze where we're beginning to see that physical gold is beginning to take a different price than paper gold?
When we had the pullback in gold in March or in April, these $20 gold pieces did not drop as significantly. Mm-hmm. So there was a separate market. The demand was strong. And because they're not mass produced any longer, like the modern issue coins are, yes, it's going to have an impact. So the bigger the demand, there aren't that many of them out there that are in certified condition. So yes, it will keep the price from coming down. To me, the downside risk on these coins at these values are very low at this point in time.
I agree.
The only impact that you're going to have is perhaps the fluctuation of their melt to value, but even on a day like today, you didn't see it. You saw the opposite.
Yeah.
So, yes, and I know these $20 gold pieces, yeah, they get a bad rap. And you know what? I wouldn't buy $20 gold pieces from some dealer in California or Arizona or in Minneapolis or in New York or in Florida, because some of them do overcharge the customers for that. They don't look for the buys. They try to shove you into coins, so they do make it better. And that's the argument on these guys who have their own agenda, and they try to put you into something else. They talk bad about $20 gold pieces, but if you buy them right and you listen to me and you let me direct and give you the right prices for the coins, you know, you can't go wrong. I mean, they're deals, and sure, nothing goes straight up. It all corrects and comes down, but in the long term, if you look at the benefits against all the other coins, and when you're looking at the prices that I quote today, I don't know why people would buy anything else.
Yeah.
But each coin has a purpose and a place in a portfolio, and it's our job to educate the listeners and our clients so you can make it an informed decision on which product best suit your needs and where you want to be, and if you want to pay a little extra for the additional benefits that you receive. And I get sick and tired of hearing people say, well, gold is just gold. It isn't. You know, it does make a difference.
Well, it's like saying metal is just, or steel is just steel. All right, well, yeah, there's a point to that. On the other hand, steel goes into a Ferrari or a BMW or whatever, and it becomes something other than steel. And it's the same thing with mint state coins. In the end, they're collectibles. It's like, you know, it's like a it's similar to a Van Gogh painting. They're not making anymore. You find one in your attic, you ought to hang on to it because it's probably worth quite a lot of money. It has to be the same way. Of course, there's only a relative handful of Van Gogh paintings. There are millions of mint state coins. But within the context of collectibles, you know, there's really not enough coins to go around. Price has to go up, and it will go up, and it's going to continue to go up, and it will go up in some regards, even if gold doesn't. In a strong economy, if the economy recovers and everybody all of a sudden says, yay, we're getting rich again, well, I guarantee you there'll be people out there buying collectibles. In the midst Absolutely. Of their prosperity, they will be buying collectibles. And even though the price of gold may not be rising dramatically under those circumstances, and I don't expect to see a prosperous period anytime soon, but in the event that happened, I would still expect to see the price of collectibles continue to increase, just like Model A Fords. Huh? Price is going up. Bet on it. They're not making any more of them. So, same thing, same idea. What else do we have, Melody?
We got a comment in from Murray. He says banks are also restricting the foreclosures hitting the market to keep the real estate market tighter than normal and to give the people the impression we are in an up market, similar to the diamond situation just mentioned.
I agree, and the only thing I would say is they are restricting the supply of homes. They're not. The homes have been foreclosed. Banks repossessed them. But they're not putting them out on the market, not all of them. Significant number are being restrained, and this is to maintain housing prices. Well, yeah, it's in order to maintain the illusion that housing is worth more than perhaps is really the case, but it's also there to maintain the apparent value of the mortgages, the existing mortgages. If anything were to happen, if we released all of those homes into the markets right now, price of homes would fall more, and it would fall significantly. And it might fall; those prices might fall enough where the average homeowner would look down and realize, I owe $200,000 on a house that I can only get $125,000 for right now. If he realizes he's underwater, he may abandon the house, leaving the bank with another non-performing mortgage on a house that was originally priced at $250,000 and might only be worth $125,000 now. And the point I'm trying to illustrate is the banks and the government, whatever, say, well, we're protecting the market. All right, we want to maintain the homeowners' equity in their homes. And I don't doubt there's some truth to that, but there's also truth to the idea that by restricting the supply of foreclosed homes that are available for sale in this country right now, we are protecting the banks. We are protecting their mortgages. Right? You let the price of housing fall to where it might truly be on the free market, and a whole bunch of banks might wind up going out of business. So who is the government truly trying to protect by at least allowing banks to restrict the foreclosed properties that are going out onto the market? Who are the banks trying to protect? They're trying to protect the public, trying to protect themselves, and the answer is obvious if you look at it. Of course they're trying to protect themselves. They may explain it that we're trying to protect the public. Truth of the matter is they're trying to protect the banks. That's who they're trying to protect. So we have, they are restricting the supply in order to maintain a high price, and in the matter of gold, they are exaggerating the supply in order to try to maintain a low price. And sooner or later, the free market is going to assert itself. That's a principle I presume that just has to be true. I can't get around it. I can't tell you when it's going to happen. But sooner or later, the free market is going to say, look, we got all these houses. They're vacant. They're empty. Instead of sitting and keeping them off the market, make them available for whatever the market would bear. You know, one of the things that would happen if we made those homes available right now, even at a very low price, put a bunch of people back into homes. They could stop living in mom's basement, all right, with the wife and the baby living down in the basement, the folks' basement. You get into your home. Wouldn't necessarily be the worst thing in the world. I know it would be bad for people that own homes. I understand that. But they're not the only people we have in this country. There's also people living in basements right now. Why not make the homes available? And on top of which, when we keep them off the market, they keep them vacant and they deteriorate more rapidly. When people aren't living in a home, the home deteriorates more rapidly. There's no one to take care of it. There's no one to protect it from having thieves break in and rip the copper out of the walls. You leave these homes abandoned, and they won't just fall in value to some degree. They will become worthless if you leave them sit abandoned for a decent amount of time. They become just worthless. Sooner or later, somebody's got to realize those homes are gone. I'm not sure. I don't know where all the mathematics works out on this in terms of finances, but it's just evidence for me that we are better off to ride the rough and bumpy free market than we are to try to ride a market that's regulated by the government for our best interest, for the bank's best interest, for somebody's best interest. The regulations always just, they come back to bite you. And in the end, the consequences are worse than if you just let it go and said, fine, the price of houses is going to fall, it's going to fall. Price of gold is going to fall, it's going to fall. If it's going to go up, it's going to go up. Let it happen. Let the truth take place instead of the manipulation. The manipulation always results in lies. Now, that's what the manipulation does. Free market says the price should be this. Somebody manipulates and said, no, we're going to keep it here. The result is a lie. And in my opinion, sooner or later, that lie will come back to haunt you, bite you, impoverish you. No. In any case, what else we got, Melody? Got any questions or comments?
Yeah, we certainly do. When this is in from Richard. He says, when the government devalues the dollar, what happens to money supply, prices of food, et cetera? Why is it done, and how is this supposed to solve things? Bob Chapman said you maybe get $1 for every $10. How does this solve anything?
Okay, he's got a bunch of he has a number of questions there, and you'll probably have to read one or two of them back to me. But first off, when they devalue the dollar, they inflate. The supply increases and it's a fiat currency. When the supply increases, the supply of money increases, it's conducive to inflation, which means if we had $1 million, right? Yesterday we had $1 million in our community. Today, thanks to inflation, we have $2 million. The government printed an extra million, and now we have $2 million. What does that mean? It probably means that prices are going to double. We didn't increase the number of Cadillacs in our community. We didn't increase the number of homes in our community. We didn't increase the amount of food in our community. All we did was increase the supply of money, currency. And when we increased that supply, that increase resulted in inflation. The public figures it out. They don't figure it out instantly, but they begin to realize, you know, there's an awful lot of dollars floating around in this community that weren't there last week. And somebody says, you know, I think I've been selling these Cadillacs for $50,000 each. I'm telling you, I think I could get 75 for them. Huh? And they try it. Hello. And somebody comes up and says, oh, what the heck? I got so many paper dollars. Yeah, I'll pay $75,000 for a new Cadillac. And next thing you know, the price of Cadillacs has increased from $50,000 to $75,000, and they might even go to $100,000. In any case, as the supply of paper dollars increases, each paper dollar becomes worth less. Right? We got $1 million paper dollars in the community. We double it to $2 million. The result is each paper dollar becomes worth only 50 cents as compared to the original $1 million. We had $1 million, it was worth $1 apiece. We add another million, it's now, we have 2 million, and they become effectively worth 50 cents a piece. I'm not sure if that clarifies. What other questions does he have?
He says, why is it done, and how is this supposed to solve things?
Why is it done? There is the important question. Why does the government inflate the currency? And the answer is the national debt is too great to ever be repaid. It's a fundamental idea, theme I have harped on for at least 5 years on these radio programs. What can't be paid won't be paid. The government can't pay the national debt. That means technically the government is bankrupt. And there's not much doubt about it. That's an accurate description of the condition of government's finances right now. They're bankrupt. But they can avoid admitting that they're bankrupt by means of inflation. If we can cause, they say we've got $17 trillion in debt, national debt. It's actually probably over $200 trillion, but let's just take the $17 trillion and let's suppose government can cause 20% inflation over the course of a couple of years. What they've done to the national debt is we owe $17 trillion, and we will pay $17 trillion. But thanks to inflation, 20% inflation over the course of a couple of years, we will effectively have reduced the purchasing power of that $17 trillion by 20%. Even though we actually give them $17 trillion, they will only have maybe $12 or $14 trillion in purchasing power. And that's what the real debt is about. It's not about the numbers. How many dollars do you owe? What are the dollars worth? That's the question. What will they buy? And by means of inflation, the government effectively reduces the national debt. If they can cause enough inflation or even hyperinflation, they can wipe out that national debt. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody? Do we have any left of that question? We still have part of that question left.
Well, his final question was, how does it solve anything?
And the answer, of course, is doesn't, but it does postpone. What is the solution that's offered by inflation is that it postpones the economic problem until it finally blows up in everybody's face, all right? And then they say, oh, my gosh, this is terrible. This is surprising. I'm shocked, I tell you. And it's all a bunch of nonsense. But they do postpone it. And in the meantime, the government, the politicians in office, manage to placate the people, and they manage to get reelected. It solves their reelection problems, I'll give you that. They don't want to be there when the stuff hits the fan. So by means of inflation, they can postpone the moment when the stuff hits the fan. But as they postpone it, they're just building it up, you know, until the stuff is going to hit the fan. You understand? and it becomes a question of what's your preference. You get a little stuff hitting the fan, you know, on a regular basis, or do they back up to the fan with a dump truck full of stuff and dump it on the fan and boom? So what's your preference, folks? You like a lot of stuff all at once or little stuff once in a while? If Einstein were around here, he would have some sort of a law. This would be the law of stuff. You know, it would be like the law. It would be kind of like the law of gravity. You can kind of defy gravity for a while. You can get up in an airplane and you put enough power behind it. And you can zoom around and you don't have to touch the ground. But inevitably, there's a day when you run out of fuel. And then what? Then the law of gravity reasserts itself. And if you're buzzing around at 20,000 feet when you run out of fuel, it's going to be a very painful reassertion of that law of gravity. You better time it where you can land when you run out of fuel, and if you don't, there's going to be a crash. That's kind of what we see here. And the idea behind the crash, that's I was just doing an article or writing about the Depression of 1893. Right, there was a depression back then, and at the time it was the worst depression we'd had in this country, 1893, and it was caused by monetary manipulation. The government was buying, it passed a law, because the silver industry was overproducing silver. The government passed a law that they would buy 4.5 million ounces of silver every month in order to create an artificial demand for silver. And by means of the artificial demand for silver, they would sustain the price of silver, and therefore the silver mining industry would not go bankrupt due to overproduction. Well, the truth of the matter is, in the free market, they should have just let them go bankrupt. Right? It's like me producing totem poles. I can go out there and chop totem poles, get myself the saw and start an axe, whatever I need, and start carving totem poles. And when I've got 500 totem poles stacked up and nobody buys them, then I can petition the government to buy my totem poles so I don't go broke. The truth is, if you're going to make something nobody wants, if you're going to mine something that no one needs, you deserve to go bankrupt until the demand catches up. You know, you can't just oversupply the stuff. They wanted to protect the mine, the special interests of the mining industry, and this is in the 1890s. And what they did is passed a law. They said the government would buy 4.5 million ounces, and the net result was what? The intent was to raise the price of silver. And the government would buy 4.5 million ounces a month, and what happened? They actually caused the price of silver to go down because they said they would pay for this stuff. You could pay for it with silver coin notes. All right, but these notes were redeemable in both gold and silver, and the public quickly realized there was a glut of silver. And instead of buying the silver and using silver dollars, the government created an artificial price for silver. It was overpriced. The people stopped using the silver. They went to gold. What actually happened is they caused a drain on the U.S. Treasury supply of gold. They very nearly exhausted it. And silver at the same time, the price of silver ultimately dropped even more, putting the special interests under more stress than they were before they appealed to government. And all I'm trying to get across here is the idea government meddles in these things, and they think they're going to do someone some good. Or maybe they don't even think of it as good. Maybe they just take bribes. And the silver industry thought, fine, here, take a bribe and buy our silver, and then we will still be able to get rich and even give you guys in Congress even more bribes. I don't know what moved them, but somebody thought they were doing something that was at least profitable. And all it turned into was a mess. They meddled in the price of silver for just a couple of years. But it put the country into a depression that lasted for seven years. They had 2 or 3 years of monetary meddling and 7 years of economic depression. And principal reason was they had to mess with the money system. And for me, it's just a lesson to illustrate Every time government gets involved in this and tries to refute and suspend the free market, the law, the free market and the law of supply and demand, it ends badly. But it might not end badly right now. It will end badly at some point in the future. And in the meantime, we can sit back and, I don't know, enjoy the bubble, prepare for the collapse. Hard to say what we're going to see, but government meddling, probably a bad idea in virtually every instance. What else do we have, Melody?
We have a question from Ivan. He says, when central banks across the world finally stop easing, a financial crisis will ensue, says economist David Roche, president of the research firm Independent Strategy. Yes, it, a financial crisis, will happen. And yes, it will be bigger than the credit crisis of 2008-09. And he told this to CNBC. He says, once you reprice the burden of the world's debt, the ugly truth will be revealed. Mm-hmm. And the question is, if Fed continues printing money at today's rate of $85 billion per month, which would cause eventually a great inflationary spiral, this would oppose the David Roche's theory?
He's asking, would it oppose the David Roche theory?
This would oppose the David Roche theory. Question mark.
I don't know. All right. I don't know what the David Roche theory is per se. You maybe perhaps you explained that in the question, but I didn't catch what that theory was. But I agree with this to this extent. Everybody can see this is going to be a train wreck. Everyone understands this who looks at it, and the only question is when. How long can the government sustain the manipulation? We talk about $85 billion per month that they're adding to the economy with printing. That translates into something like an extra $1 trillion a year that's being printed into the economy, if I'm doing my math correctly. I think that's how it works out, about an extra $1 trillion for now. When does it end? Right? If we could sit here and say, okay, we got a problem. We got to stimulate the economy in order to maintain our level of prosperity. All right. Nice idea. Maybe it would work. How long do we have to stimulate the economy? And what they've done is they have stimulated the economy. They started out with $800 billion back about 2009. And everybody said, $800 billion. Oh, my gosh, that's unprecedented. I don't know how this is going to work. That's crazy talk. What are we going to do? It went in. It didn't really have that much effect. And now they continue. And now they've worked up to where they are going to funnel $1 trillion a year into the economy. And what evidence do we have that this will stimulate the economy? Is there any evidence? And when do we reach a point where we say, okay, the idea worked, and now we can stop stimulating the economy with $85 billion a month, $1 trillion a year. When do we get to that point? Is there an exit strategy? You know, this is like Vietnam and Iraq. We go into these great wars with no idea how we're going to get out of them. And what we have is no exit strategy. How are we going to get out? And that what happens to the economy if and when the government finally says, okay, enough of that. We're not going to add $85 billion a month in stimulus anymore. $1 trillion a year translates into, what, about 1/13th? Something like 8% of the gross domestic product is being added in terms of paper dollars right now. I'm not sure if the numbers are exactly right, but ballpark, what happens when we stop adding them? There is no exit strategy. They don't have a solution. I think we are simply addicted to increasing doses of more and more fiat currency. And there will come a time when the public finally realizes this is all fraud. This isn't real. What happens then? The doses don't work. There's no stimulation. And the whole thing blows up. And then what? I mean, it's the kind of thing they are risking this country. They are risking causing financial instability that can result in that's so great that it could cause political instability. You could push this far enough where this nation collapsed and divided much like the former Soviet Union did when it ceased to exist back around 1990. A lot of people say, oh, that's crazy talk. That couldn't happen in the United States. Well, maybe not, but it's not impossible. I agree it's unlikely, but it's not impossible. And your government, with all its damn stimulus and manipulation and the presumption that you can control the nation and the economy from the top down, and that's part of what we're dealing with right now. Government says, oh, we're so smart. We can control. We know what the price of gold should be. We know what the price of homes should be. We can set this because we are really, really smart. You people are all a bunch of dummies. We have top-down control. They control us. Central planning up there in Washington will determine prices and whether we buy, sell, what jobs we have, and so on, because they're really, really smart. That's the presumption. I think maybe they're not so smart. I think we, in a free market, we have a bottom-up control where all of us get together and figure out what the price of gold should be. And all of us get together and create a market to determine what the price of homes should be. And there's a big, big question. Who's running this show? Are we the people still in charge, or is the government in charge? And right now, we the people have kind of abandoned that. We've lost awareness of the idea that we even could be in charge. We have surrendered control to Washington. We just take it for granted. Well, we'll leave it to the Congress and the Senate, the president to figure it out. And the result is contrary to probably everyone's interest long term. It would be better if we the people actually ran this from the bottom up, and even though there'd be some bumps in the road and there'd be some unpleasantness and the rest of that, they would correct quickly, as we saw Iceland. Right? Their government wanted to control everything. And they said, oh, we're going to have to pay this debt off that was owed by some of these banks, and the people are going to have to. And the people said, we're not paying the damn bank's debts. And what happened? They had 18 months, 2 years of difficult time, and they're now one of the strongest economies. They are associated with Europe. They're one of the, they're just a tiny little economy. But they have made a magnificent recovery. Right? They are once again strong and prosperous, in part because the people said, we're running this thing, not you government, not you clowns up there in the central planners in government. We are probably approaching a similar moment in this country. We might not get there for several more years, but we are approaching that. That mentality is gaining traction, and we are moving. Centralized power is becoming increasingly fragile. It may only be able to maintain itself by means of military force, and I don't think that's a realistic possibility. But they may only be able to maintain themselves by force. The internet favors decentralization. The free market favors decentralization. They mean that we, the people, can take control again. And if we do, we might get this country back headed for prosperity. As long as we let the government run it, we're headed for a collapse. I'm out of time. Melody's out of time. Melody and I are here on Financial Survival. I'll be back tomorrow with Roger Sales. Melody and I will be back on Wednesday. In the meantime, thanks for listening, and may the good Lord bless each and every one of you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Producer's sleeping.
Yeah, he forgot to grease the little button that turns the music on. He's pounding on it right now. You can almost hear him pumping on the button. Push, push, push. Come on, Frank.
Maybe he went to the little boy's room.
Yeah, it's bad timing if he did. He must have had to go. He must been desperate to make it to the little boy's room if that's what the problem is. But we will continue to talk until we hear music. Frank is usually pretty good about shutting us down when we talk too long, but in this instance, Frank's not doing a good job. Frank is the producer. And he's supposed to... He's back! All right, we're out of here, folks. Thank you. Talk to you mañana and Wednesday. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.